closer from the shore and shed. I draw closer to these eyes.
Thank you. awesome. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And at this time, we can greet each other in Jesus' name, and there'll be an offering plate in the back.
To the heavens, Jesus, Jesus.
Moses at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world.
Right now. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, Jesus. You're the reason, God. You would be the center of it all. Everything we do, everything that is said, everything that is done. Hallelujah. How we love you, Jesus. How we praise your precious name. Oh, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Youth, if you have not already retired to the upper room, you may do so. As you're walking, I want to remind everybody that we do have small groups coming up this coming Saturday. Saturday evening, if you're a part of that, you should have received a list with the place you're to be and what you're to bring and all that wonderful stuff. So that is happening. Those times and locations are determined by those different groups. And thank you, Brother and Sister Grimm, for continuing to champion that and make that possible. So that's happening this Saturday night. And then regular scheduled services on Sunday, two service format on Sunday morning, and then continuing in our split sessions on Sunday night. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Other things are made aware to you by way of announcement. We have quite a few things that we have added to the list since our department head meeting a week ago Sunday night. And so we encourage you to go to our Breeze calendar, the church calendar, and look up the different events that are happening. You can link your personal calendar, your Android or Apple phone, iPhone calendar to that, and it will automatically populate those events. So you have no excuse for missing anything that is happening, right? Because we provide you the dates, and we want to make sure that you are aware of what is happening when. And so we do that not only in announcements that scroll before service in between sessions on Sunday, but we also make the Breeze calendar, the church calendar, available via Breeze. And so we encourage you to do that. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few moments. I'm certainly asking you to continue to remember Brother Bill Kellum as he recovers from surgery. Good to see you here tonight, as already been stated. That's all right. That can be applauded. That's good. Brother Davis and his continued healing there in the shoulder, and everything seems to be doing. If we can just keep him to stop working, you know, and put more effort on it, it'll be all right. But anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention to the church? Sister Rachel? All right, certainly. Sister Kelly? All right. Sister D? Good. That's good. As many of you know, we are approaching the school year, and those of you that have employment in regards to the school and sending kids back and all that fun stuff that comes with open houses and bus routes and set up, and so certainly we understand that. Anybody else? Brother Mike? All right, certainly. Brother Day, I see your hand. All right. Certainly, certainly. Remember Sister Day in prayer. Anybody else? Brother Davis? All right. Dean Stryker. All right. Let's remember him in prayer. All right. Why don't you stand? Let's take these needs before the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you with every need, every care and concern of life. God, thank you, Lord, that your ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear, neither is your arm shortened, that it cannot save, God. And we can come to you with absolutely everything, God. No need is too big, no need is too small, God. We know that you are capable, God. You're willing and able to work in us and through us, God. We ask that you would help us to see our use, God, as vessels of your choosing, to speak words of encouragement, God, to stretch forth our hands to heal in your power and your authority, God. We thank you for those that have come through surgeries, Lord. We ask that your continued hand be upon them, God. And Brother Bill Kellum, Brother David, God, as they recover from the surgeries, God, let the recovery happen speedily, God, let there be no complications, God, we thank you for the good medical profession that works, God, but ultimately we know, God, that you have the power, God, to work and to move, God, in each and every situation and circumstance. For this young man by the name of Dean Stryker, God, we know, God, that you're able to heal, God, you're able to deliver, God, Lord, whatever the situation is, give the medical professionals wisdom in dealing with him, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. For Sister Rachel, God, and her health situation. For Brother Ryan, his situation at work, God. For those, God, who have employment with the school system, God, looking back, go forward to school, God. We pray that you would help them, God. Give them strength, God, to be able to do your work, God. For Sister Day, we lift her up before you in prayer, knowing that you are a healer, God. You're a help and a strength, one we can depend upon and trust in. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you, God. For the Mike's family and their situation they're dealing with, Lord, we know that you're able, God. And we trust in you, Jesus. We trust in your precious name. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands and applaud the Lord? He's good. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I don't know if I got that up. You're so good. Everybody give Brother, I didn't tell him. He had it already queued up, ready to go. Give Brother Jay Grimm a hand. The multimedia slash sound man slash whatever we need kind of guy. And so we thank you for that, Brother Grimm. I want to say thank you, and I mean this. I have got numerous people who have given me feedback over the last study we just completed last week, Saving Truth, Saving the Truth That Saves Us. And it's always good, I don't do it for your compliment, but I appreciate it when people come and say, hey, I really got a lot out of that. I know it was mentioned during the ladies' session, and so I want to say thank you. Thank you for that feedback, and thank you for your attentiveness and your willingness to venture into that type of study. I know some of the subjects that we talked on were not subjects that you normally hear taught on and preached about, if you will, or taught on in church. But I thank you for your openness and your reception of it. But all things must come, all good things must come to an end, except for heaven, that lasts forever. So we are venturing out into a new study, and I've entitled it The Biggest Little Words. The Biggest Little Words. In studying and preparing and reading, a few things over the weeks have been jumping out at me in reading the Word of God. And what I've noticed is that there are many times when God speaks what we might think to be little words, or the Bible uses little words, or what we can attribute to little words, but they have such a big impact. And so I wanted to venture into a study, and you're going to help me with a study, because through this introduction tonight, we're going to introduce three of the words that I want to take each word and do a lesson on. But I'm also going to ask here in a little bit if there's other words that we might incorporate into the study. Big little words. Little words that have big meaning and big impact when it comes to our walk and relationship with God. It is essentially this, a study of how our responses to little words make a big difference. How our responses to little words make a big difference. If we look at the Bible, here's kind of the study focus, if you will. There are numerous examples in Scripture where God uses little things for a big impact. And I just listed a few things that maybe we brought to your mind and you can remember. Things like the children of Israel, how that God used Abraham and said, I will make of thee a great nation, and use one man and his family, and from that made the nation of Israel what we call the children of Israel. It was just one man who God used, and as a result, he told them, listen, your descendants are going to be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. It's just one little act of faith, if you will, where Abram at that time responded to the call of God, and he made of him a great nation, the descendants of a great nation. And then you have Gideon. Many of us are familiar with the story of Gideon in Judges, where he, after the angel comes to him and tells him they're under the oppression of the Midianites, and the angel comes to him while he's threshing wheat by the wine press and says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, and I'm paraphrasing, who, me? You got the wrong guy. I am least in my household, and I'm of the smallest tribe. And we understand the great victory that God wrought as a result of Gideon's response, and how that they started out with 30,000 and it comes all the way down to 300 men, and where God uses 300 men to destroy the Midianites. And it's another example of how God uses little things to make a big impact. What about David? David, who wasn't even thought of, he was kind of an afterthought when it came to all the other brothers, and Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel had to ask, do you have any more sons? Are there any more brothers? Jesse says, well, yeah, there's little old David. He's out there in the field keeping watch. Samuel says, well, we will not sit down until he comes here. And we know that Samuel anoints David to be the next king of Israel. And though he's small, if you will, and he's of a small tribe and not much notoriety, God uses him and he becomes one of the greatest kings in Israel. Then you have the birthplace of Jesus. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, Judah. Though thou be least among thy brethren, out of thee shall come a ruler. We understand that even the place where Jesus was born, the birthplace of Jesus, was considered insignificant. Right? And then certainly you have the teaching of Jesus when he talks about the mustard seed. He said, though it be smallest of all the herbs, it's planted and it grows, that the birds of the air, that they nest in the branches thereof. And again, referring to little things that make a big impact. Luke 9:48, the end of that verse says this, but he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. The Bible, as you go through the Bible, you will find there are many instances where God uses little things or small things and they have a great impact. So that begs the question then. Question I'll ask, why? Why does God use little things to make such a big impact? What's the reason behind it? Anybody want to offer an opinion or what you think or why you think God uses little things to make such a big impact? Everybody speak at once? Yeah? Show his might and his power? Good. Anybody else? Is this Sue Ann? Okay, another good perspective. It shows that he's concerned about the little things. Anybody else? Let's look at this passage of Scripture. It's found, here it is. So that we believe in him and attribute the work done to nothing else but him. How do we know that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 1:28-29. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. The reason why God uses little things to make such a big difference, certainly to show his might and his power. Certainly to show that he cares even about the little things. But most importantly, it's to reveal that He's God. And He's the one that makes up the difference. He's the one that can take that little thing. He's the one that can take the mustard seed and make it grow into a mighty tree. He's the one that has that potential. All glory belongs to the great God who makes up the big difference. It's the reason why God, that no flesh should glory in His presence. So there's no doubt that it is the work of God. Because it couldn't be any other way. It has to be. And so God continually uses those little things to reveal how great and how wonderful He is, how mighty He is, how awesome He is. And He's such a great God. He makes up that big difference. So we're gonna go with two-letter words. That's how little the words are that we're going to talk about. Can anyone think of some two-letter words that pack a pretty big punch? If. No. Anybody else? He? Ye? Why ye? Okay. Anybody else? You got two of the three that I have that we're going to talk about. So if you have more, do share. Go. Go, no, and if. Three of the biggest little words in all of the Bible. Go, no, and if. These words are life-changing, full of potential, possibility, and promise. When God speaks these little words into our lives, the results of our choices in regard to them are big. Just a little word. Go. Just a little word. No. Just a little word. If. These words are huge. These words and our responses to these words when God speaks them into our lives. We're attentive and we're listening. God says go. It's one of the hardest things to do. We're praying and we're asking and we want deliverance or healing. We want God to work a miracle in our life. We want something to happen and pray and we pray and we pray. And He's trying to tell us, but we don't want to listen. But eventually we figure out His answer is no. How do I respond? Because my response to those words make a big difference. Or if, a conditional word, where God says, if you, then I will. It's conditional. Now, the great thing about that is that God always keeps His part. If we often fail to do our part. We often fail on our condition. He never fails on His condition. But it's huge. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. If, it's conditional, but it's huge. The impact it could have on my life, the possibilities that exist in that little word. These have to be some of the biggest little words in all the Bible. Go, no, and if. The reason why they are so big and the reason why they are so important is because the understanding is this. God is speaking. Make no mistake, God is speaking. We don't often hear. We're often doing our own thing or we have our own aspirations, but make no mistake, God is speaking. Often the voice of God is a subtle whisper, so soft we won't hear unless we are listening. And unless we are truly attentive, unless we truly have a relationship with God where we can hear Him, many times it's just a subtle no. No. Or if. Sometimes through His Word, sometimes through a person, maybe a friend, an acquaintance. Sometimes God even uses people who don't know they're being used. They don't understand, really, that the catalyst for them saying what they're saying is that God is using them at that point in time to speak into our lives. Sometimes it's through life events. Sometimes circumstances of life. Sometimes we desire and we ask and God says no. We continue to go after it. We continue to seek it. We continue to want it and desire it. God says no. Sometimes in our own pursuits, because we refuse to listen, we refuse to heed when God says no, we make a mess for ourselves. When if we'd have been attentive at the very onset and said, okay, God, I'm not going to question your judgment. You told me no, then no it shall be. And I'll stop pursuing it. I'll stop asking for it. The Apostle Paul, we're going to talk about him in the study of the word no. I besought the Lord thrice and it would depart from me. You know what God said? No. My grace is sufficient because I'm teaching you something in this, Paul. You're learning more about me in this. Make no mistake, God is calling. He's calling us for different roles, in different ways, and at different points in time. God is calling. And here's the thing. And I realize, and please understand where I'm coming from in this. We talk about in relation to ministry, in relation to pastoring, the call of God been placed upon your life. Well, folks, I believe God is calling everybody. And I know we kind of reserve that and we kind of use that as kind of the springboard for somebody to go into ministry. But God's called us all to be ministers. And God is calling each and in our own walk and relationship with God, He is calling us. God is a speaking God. And I'm not talking about in an audible voice where you hear the heavens open and, you know, lightning booms and thunder. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about that still small voice in your prayer time, in your devotion, in your interaction, and in your ministering, where God begins to speak to you. And you begin to recognize that it is His voice. Though somebody else is saying it, or though the preacher's preaching it, or the Word of God you're just reading, it is His voice and He's speaking to you. For a role to be played sometimes at different points in time. Here it is. The Bible makes it clear that God has plans for each and every one of us. Work He has prepared long ago. A plan He has in place and a place for us in that plan. I'll say that again. A plan that He has in place and a place for us in that plan. There's a plan. It's been from the foundation of the world. God has this plan and it's going to happen. God's collective plan, His plan, is going to happen. It's far beyond our understanding. It was set in motion long before we came on the scene, and it will continue long after. It's His plan. Just as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above our thoughts and His ways above our ways. His plan, it's beyond our comprehension. For me to truly understand God's plan and what God has for me and what God has for this world as a whole, I can't wrap my brain around that. Can't. It's not meant for me to understand. Some of His ways are past finding out. You can't. The plan will happen. It will be performed. The script has been written, and His word will come to pass. It will happen. God's plan is forever settled in heaven. His plan will happen. However, God offers us the opportunity to play a role in this plan
And our responses to his offers determine how integral a part we play. He offers us the opportunity to play an integral part in his plan. He makes that possible. He does. You see, there's also, let's look at a scripture. 2 Timothy 2:19 and 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Wait a second, there's that word if. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. It's a condition. God's plan is in place. God's plan is going to happen. But me and my choices and my responses to his offers determine whether or not I'm a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Whether I'm gold and silver or whether I'm wood and of earth. Whether I'm spiritual or whether I'm natural. Think about it. The offer's there. And if a man therefore purges from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, catch this, for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. God's collective plan is in place, and it's going to be performed. It will come to pass. The script has been written. You and I have an opportunity to play a role. And whether we are a vessel in that plan that is a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, whether we are not, that's on us. That's on me and how I respond to his will and to his plan. Because while God has a collective plan, he also has an individual plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us. You believe that? Do you believe that God has a plan for you? Now, I know when you look at a world of almost 8 billion people, you think, really? Let's just be honest. God has a plan for me. There's a reason why I'm here. God's plan for us on an individual level is different from his collective plan in that our free will determines whether or not the plan will come to pass in our lives. That's huge, folks. He has a collective plan, and that will come to pass. But our individual plan, God will not infringe upon our free will. So whether or not that individual plan that God has for me comes to pass in my life is contingent upon my response to his offers. Our individual choices determine how we are used by God in the collective plan and whether or not his individual plan for us is accomplished. We cannot fully comprehend this as God sees from an eternal perspective and we do not. He sees the end from the beginning. He is outside of time. And so it's hard for us to really comprehend and understand that even though I may choose by my own free will not to be in God's individual plan, he can somehow still use me in his collective plan. And that if I desire, and if I decide to follow his will and his way for me on an individual basis, he somehow orchestrates the collective plan to accommodate that. Catch that. And I know you say, well, how does that work? Is it because here's the understanding. God sees from an eternal perspective. He will not infringe upon my free will. He knows the plans that he has for us. We'll look at that passage here in just a few minutes. To give us an expected end. There is an expectation
There is a design, there is a desire, there is an individual plan for each and every one of us. But make no mistake, if I decide not to follow God's individual plan for my life, it will not in one way, shape, or form upset His collective plan. It won't. His collective plan will come to pass. He just offers you and I opportunity to be a part of it, to be involved in His collective plan. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see, this is where that big little word if comes in. God's collective plan will take place. It will happen. My involvement in that collective plan and the accomplishment of God's individual plan is on me. That big little word if. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, what? According to His purpose. I just don't know how this is going to be good for me, Pastor. I don't know things I'm going through. I just don't know. First of all, you may be going through what you're going through because you're not listening to His voice. Because His voice is always going to steer you in the direction of His plan. It's always going to be according to His purpose. And if I am following, and if I am listening, and if I am heeding His words, and I am accepting His offers to do what He would have me to do, and yes, even accepting the rejection when He says no, then I can be according to His purpose. I can have His purpose played out in my life. His collective purpose and His collective plan. It's going to play out. It's going to happen. But that individual plan that God has for me, that expected end, the thoughts that He has for me, guess what? That's going to be on me. It's not His will that what? Any should perish. It's not God's plan. He did not create hell for you and I. It was for the devil and his angels. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a plan in place to keep you and I from hell. There's a plan in place. Whether or not you or I are a part of that plan on an individual basis. It's His will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's conditional. So let's talk about, we're going to go into these kind of a deep dive later on in the study, but let's talk about this word go. Call to go someplace new, maybe geographically, maybe spiritually, maybe relationally, or maybe all three. Maybe God has to change my location geographically to change things in me spiritually so that my relationship with Him changes. Maybe God says, go. Because what I need to do in your life and the plan I have for you cannot be fulfilled where you presently are. And as long as you stay here, it doesn't mean you're not going to be saved. It doesn't mean you're not going to make heaven your home. What it means is that you're not going to fulfill all that I have for you. And the purpose that I have for you will not be fully accomplished in your life if you stay here. So it's a big little word. Go. To move forward from where and what we are to where and what God has for us, we must be willing to go. This is huge. This is big. Sometimes when God calls you to change, to uproot and move, and sometimes it's a geographical thing, sometimes it's a spiritual thing. Sometimes it's a relational thing. Sometimes you got to be willing to go from a relationship. We'll get into that. But you just understand, these are big little words which have monumental effect upon them, which can forfeit or accomplish God's purpose in my life. His plan will play out on a collective basis, but on an individual basis, when God says go, will I go? Or will I stay put? Again, doesn't mean I won't be saved. Doesn't mean I won't have blessings. Doesn't mean God won't use me. Doesn't mean I can't still be a part of His collective plan. Just simply means if I'm not willing to respond to Him, if I'm not willing to go as He would have me go, I am not going to be able to fulfill His purpose for me. Because going requires some uncomfortable choices. We're going to talk about that. One of the greatest examples that we'll use in our study is that of Moses. After 40 years in a desert, life is predictable, life is comfortable. He's got kids, father-in-law, wife. He's been living a shepherd's life for 40 years, and God speaks from a burning bush and says, go. Here's my plan. I've heard the cry of the people. It's time. I told Abraham a long time ago they'd be there for 400 years. Time's up. I'm paraphrasing. That's my plan. It's going to happen. Moses, will you go? No. It's a tough one. Here's the thing. When God tells us no about what we desire from Him because it is not in His plan, He knows what we have needed before we ask or even think it. He knows the thoughts that He has. He knows what His plan is for us. And we ask, and sometimes we seek, and we desire, man, we long for it. And God says, no. Here's the thing, and here's what I hope to really solidify and help uncover in this study. Rejection is not person-based. He's not rejecting you as a person. He's not rejecting your wants and desires because your wants and desires come from you. That's not why He's saying no. Guys, this is also liberating. And understanding that His rejection is not person-based, it's plan-based. The reason why He's saying no, God is not rejecting us. He is rejecting our attempt to use Him to facilitate something outside His plan. And He says, no, not going to do it. Well, really, I would like for this to be worked out this way. And I went, but that's not in my plan. You have free will. You can continue to pursue this all you want. You can continue to try. You can continue to do everything you can. But if you're asking for my help, I can't give it. Think about it. I can't facilitate something that is outside my plan for you. You're asking amiss. Why? Did you make consumed upon your own lust? And that's not in my plan. My plan is good for you. My plan is perfect. My plan has no flaws. And so when I tell you no, don't be offended. God doesn't care about me. Let me tell you where this is huge. This is huge, especially in places like healing. We know God's healed before. Maybe God's even healed us before. We know He has the power to do it. God says, no. For deliverance. We want deliverance for something. Paul wanted deliverance. I besought the Lord thrice that it would depart from me. No, my grace is sufficient. Understand, it's plan-based rejection. It's not person-based rejection. Because he chooses to heal this person and not heal you doesn't mean he loves them more than you. Somehow I've got to believe in the plan of God and understand that if God chooses not to heal me, maybe his plan is better than my plan. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to submit to the sovereignty of God. That he knows. And his plan is greater than our plan. And his reasoning for doing or not doing is greater than our want and our desire. It's huge. It's not person-based rejection. It's plan-based rejection. He says no. Because it's not in his plan. Or if. So much potential packed into this little word. If. It's a two-letter word. If. A conditional word. The possibilities within are beyond our comprehension. God will always keep his part for this conditional word. God will always keep his part. He offers it. If you, then I will. If a man purge himself from these things, then guess what? Then I will use him as a vessel of honor, sanctified. You will then be meet for the master's use. That will use you. There's many times where these converge. God tells us to go. We want a contingency, and God says, no. And we still seek, and God says, okay, if. Abraham, did he not barter with God when it came to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Come, let us reason together. Sometimes in all when these big little words interchange. Go and know and if, though they're little two-letter words, they have a big impact. And how I respond to them. And here's the thing. In order for me to hear the voice of God, and in order for me to understand it's God saying go, or it's God saying no, or it's God saying if, we got to be connected. We got to understand that it is his voice. And that he is calling us. Sometimes it's in a flaming bush, man. It's like, it's undeniable. It's something that just catches your attention. And Moses, I'm gonna go see this thing. There's a bush on fire and it ain't burning. I got to check that out. And God speaks and miracles are performed. And throw down a rod and it turns into a snake. And you put your hand in your robe. You pull it out and it's leprosy. And you put it back in and it's pull it back out. And it's like newborn skin. Sometimes there's thunder, lightning, and fire, and there's no voice of God. But then you stand in the mouth of a cave, and it's a still small voice that begins to speak to you. As in the case of Elijah. God is speaking. There's some big little words that he's wanting to say to us. And how we respond make a big difference. Three words are some of the biggest little words in all the Bible. The study will help us tap into the big potential these little words have in our walk and relationship with God. Go, know, and if. The biggest little words. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Next week, we're going to talk about when God says go. God says, get up from where you are and go to where I want you. We have a choice to make. Do I get up and go? Or do I stay? My response to that big little word will make a big difference. Make a big difference in me and to those who are connected to me. So I hope through the course of this study, we learn that God speaks to us sometimes in small, seemingly minute ways, but they make a big difference. Need to respond to them correctly. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your word. Lord, I hope that the course of this study, God, we would better attune our ears to your voice, God. Could hear what you would say, to know where you would have us to go, God. To understand, God, when you are rejecting some of the pursuits that we have. Lord, to understand that there are some conditions you will base the plan upon, God. And I ask you, Lord, to help us open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Help us to study and to learn, God. These big little words, God, will make a big difference in our lives. That we would see your plan accomplished in us and your collective plan accomplished through us. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.